This is the English translation of the message delivered by Pastor Hong on November 17th, 2024. The message title is Light Bears Fruit. And the scripture passage is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Good morning. Let us read from Ephesians chapter 5, 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Last Monday through Wednesday, my wife and I went to a seminar for pastors and their spouses organized by CLSK Christian Life Growth Study Group through an introduction from someone. The venue was the House of Meditation at the Mary Monastery in Susono, Shizuoka Prefecture. In front of the house is Mount Fuji, which appears to be red in the sun. The mountains that accompany it in the sky are so spectacular. The monastery grounds are surrounded by vast tea plantations. It was truly a place where I could feel the beauty and freshness of the Lord's nature all over my body. There, we were allowed to enjoy a moment of quietness and grace. At first, it felt very cramped. When we entered the monastery building upon arrival, I was a bit overwhelmed by the silence sign on the wall right in front of me. Talking is basically prohibited in this building except in designated areas. And even in the chapel where worship is offered, you must take off your shoes and enter without speaking. Even at meals, there is no talking at all, and we eat in silence. At first, it felt very cramped, but once I learned the intention of talking with God and listening to the faint voice of God speaking to me, like the prophet Elijah, and I began to enjoy the grace of silence, we found the place very attractive and the special space rich in blessings. At mealtime, we could not even utter the word delicious, and we had to pay attention to the sounds of chopsticks and spoons clashing with dishes, and the sound of chewing the food in my mouth. The first dinner on the day we arrived, I was so nervous that I thought I would not be able to digest the food. But I soon got used to it. Once I got used to it, I felt the deep flavor of each dish, and as I chewed carefully, I entered a spiritual solitary gourmet state, a moment of bliss, if you know the TV program called The Solitary Gourmet. Prayer, too, was a pleasant time of quiet contemplation on the words of the Bible that were led to us, and simply focusing our minds on the reality of Christ's presence through the Holy Spirit, which was a time of solemn rest for the heart and soul. The time of the lecturers who led this seminar, and the time of sharing with the limited group of 10 pastors and spouses from various parts of Japan, from Hokkaido to Shikoku, was a time of warmth and gratitude, a time of relief and healing. There were times of quietness, times of sharing, times of meditation on the words of the Bible read to us, times when we took off our shoes and entered the chapel with the tension of silence, times of silent prayer, times of silent meals, times when I stayed alone in a separate room from my wife, times when I took walks and did some exercise with my wife through the tea fields while watching Mount Fuji. All the times I experienced there were filled with unspeakable blessings. Among them, the time of listening to the lecturers and their spouses and sharing with my wife and the pastors who attended with us was especially a time of realization of a great blessing for me. One of the lecturers gave a testimony about his own work attitude when he arrived as the third lead pastor of the church where the previous pastor served for 37 years as an evangelist first, and then as assistant pastor, and then as lead pastor. Perhaps it was because the church was a very large church with a large number of people, where visible results were evident, or perhaps it was because the work of the previous lead pastor, who was competent, gifted, and loving, was so excellent. But after he became the lead pastor there, he unwittingly fell into a results-oriented attitude of comparing himself with others. He said to himself, "If I could do this, it should be great. If I couldn't do that, it's no good. I have to teach, I have to change." And the competitive mindset not to lose against others worked in himself, trying to look big. When I heard this story, I thought to myself, "Ah, I'm in a very similar situation to him, but I don't think I am an achievement-oriented person. In fact, I think I am the opposite of an achievement-oriented person. I'm trying to prepare myself not to be a performance-based person." However, on the last day, during a group sharing session, one of the pastors in the same group said, "By the way, I have a permission to share this story in my sermon. He said, I realize that there are things in our church that are not the gospel of Christ things, like performance-oriented thinking, that are surprisingly prevalent. Actually, perhaps because I was a bit tired, I dozed off for about 5 minutes during the last lecturer's talk earlier, even though I was sitting at the very front. But this cleared my head and allowed me to listen carefully and intently to the rest of the sermon. Through the experience, I realized that I had been blaming those who dozed off during my worship sermon. Whenever I saw people dozing off, I felt sorry for myself, thinking, "Oh, my sermon is not meeting the needs of these people." But at the same time, I thought to myself, "What is a man to doze off in worship?" I thought, "If you can do this, I will love you. If you cannot do that, you are not important to me. If you cannot do that, no." I realized that I had unknowingly fallen into achievement-oriented attitude that attached some kind of condition to my work. I realized that I had somehow allowed a way of thinking that was different from the gospel of Christ, God is love, to prevail in me and in the church. Hearing this, I was shaken to my core, saying, "If that is the case, then I myself am definitely a performance-oriented person, and I too have fallen into the performance-oriented mindset of judging others, thinking that I have to judge, change, communicate, teach, and persuade people in a performance-oriented way." After listening to his testimony, It was my turn to speak, and I told something like this. When I'm driving home from a vacation or returning to church after such a special time, I'm so scared that I cry alone when I think of my imminent return to the pastoral field. When I thought about returning to Ibaraki after this time of grace is over, I'm honestly scared to death. I revealed my honest thoughts at that time. Then the pastor who was sitting next to me said, I'm going back to Osaka now, but for the past 2 nights and 3 days, I have not been able to stop thinking about what I have to do after I return home. I am actually feeling heavy at the thought of returning to the pastoral field where I spend my days feeling sorry for my inadequacy and frustration at not living up to the expectations. Then all four of us in the group said, oh, we all have fallen into the results-oriented mindset. We are thinking, I have to do this, I have to do that. And we are thinking things about ourselves, the church, and the people in the church that are not in accord with the peace of Jesus. Then we all remembered that scene where Jesus was praying, dripping with the sweat of his blood, and his disciple Peter fell asleep because he couldn't stand the sleepiness. As a matter of fact, when Peter was dozing off, Jesus said, the spirit is on fire, but the flesh is weak. Those words were not to condemn Peter, like, you are not able, you have not grown up, don't sleep. But it was rather, you know what I mean, Peter. You yourself may think that your faith is strong and your human nature is strong, but the truth is that you're weak. Peter, you're lucky to have realized your weakness. Later on, this experience will surely help you to love your neighbor for the sake of others. I love you for being so weak, and because you are more important than my life, I will go to the cross for you. We thought this is a message of peace and consolation that is the opposite of the achievement-oriented. If you can do this, if you can do that. We began to think in this way, and we all agreed, surely, that is right. Through this sharing, I felt as if my eyes were opened to the peace and promise of Jesus, which is to be communicated, taught, and changed, rather than to be achievement-oriented emphasis of communicating, teaching, and changing. At the end of every program, there was a question. What is the takeaway you will take home with you from this seminar? Each participant had time to think about and write down the answer. Afterwards, there was time for participants to ask each other, what is your takeaway? After the worship sermon last week, I began to think about the scripture for today's service, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. You are light in the Lord, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. I was anxious and burdened before and during going to the mountain retreat to prepare for the sermon. So when I thought about this souvenir or the takeaway, I remembered and wrote down these words in connection with this verse from Ephesians. Cherry blossoms are cherry blossoms. Cherry blossoms become cherry blossoms. Cherry blossoms bloom. This may be because in front of Megumi Church, there is a row of cherry trees spreading out. The fact that the cherry trees are cherry trees never changes. And the fact that they are cherry trees sometimes makes beautiful cherry blossoms bloom. In the same way, Christians who were made light in Jesus did not become light and Christians by their own strength. Through God's guidance, God's grace, and Jesus' love, they became Christians. They were made lights, and they were made children of light, and became trees planted by the water of life. The tree planted by the waters is ready to blossom and bear fruit when the time comes. There is no such thing as a tree that walks by itself and is planted by the waters. In this way, Christians who are connected to the person of Jesus Christ, planted and made light by the hand of God, are not driven to bear fruit by an achievement-oriented sense of urgency that they must bear fruit. I was remembered of the fact that we were made trees. Planted by the water of life, that we were made a light, and that as trees and as light, we are made to blossom and bear fruit. Certainly, the Apostle Paul did not say, "Be fruitful, you must be fruitful, you must bear fruit," but rather, he said, "Light bears fruit." And he was simply referring to the fact that it appears in a natural way. Just as it is natural for a cherry tree to blossom, so it is for each and every Christian who is made into light to bear fruit. Because of the fact that the path we have taken in the past and the present time we are walking have become light in Christ, all of them are beneficial and bear fruit. Of course, this fruit is not measured in terms of passing an exam, becoming rich or famous, winning an award, doing well, or being healed of a disease. Of course, it is true that God gives us these kinds of blessings, but we find that neither God, Jesus, nor the Bible has ever described things like these as fruit. We too find ourselves prone to think of such things as fruit. So what is fruit? It is described in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 verses 19 through 26. Let us read. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and every drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I want you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Things of the flesh are not called fruit of the flesh, but works of the flesh. And things accomplished by the indwelling of Jesus Christ in us, by God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, are not called works but fruits of the Spirit. The word works is used for what we do, what we must do, and what we should do by our own training and actions. On the other hand, fruit refers to something that is quite natural and whose very existence is the reason for its fruit. Just as a cherry tree produces cherry blossoms, an apple tree produces apple blossoms, and the mandarin orange tree produces mandarin orange blossoms. In other words, fruit is not something that we must do, but something that we want to do. Just as a cherry tree wants to produce cherry blossom, an apple tree wants to produce apple blossom, and the mandarin tree wants to produce mandarin blossoms. So the fact of being light makes us think, I want to bear the fruit of the spirit, not I must bear the fruit of the spirit. Instead of I must love, I want to love. Instead of I must forgive, I want to forgive. Instead of I must rejoice, I want to rejoice. Instead of I must pray, I want to pray. Instead of I must worship, I want to worship. That is because we are the light. It is true not only for oneself, but also for others. I think it means that we can wait for them or others by thinking that this person is also determined to become light and bear fruit, just as we ourselves are determined to become light and bear fruit, rather than thinking, I will not do this or that about others. That is why he said, the Apostle Paul says in verses 25 and 26 of Galatians chapter 5, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. How thankful we are to be able to quit the performance-based judging because it fits the occasion and bears fruit. Such words seem to be a sharing of the grace by the Apostle Paul. The fruit that we bear after becoming light is not something that only belongs for Christians or only for Christians, but something that all people in the world share a common desire for and wish to be. We have been placed in a place that is destined to bear such fruit, and as we reflect on the fact that we have been remade anew and on our very existence in the Lord, we hope that we'll be able to walk in a way that reduces our overstrains. Let us pray.